agenda paper 7. Craig again.
Yes. Okay, thank you. So we will discuss agenda paper 7, which addresses the requirement in IS 41 to measure biological assets growing on bearer plants at fair value. The committee receives a request to clarify whether it is possible for an entity to rebut the presumption in paragraph 30 of IS 41 that fair value of agricultural produce can be measured reliably. In particular, if the palm oil industry is a good example of where this might be the case. We have analysed the requirements in paragraphs 5 to 16 of our paper. Appendix C discusses the research we have undertaken specifically on the palm oil industry, as well as the wider agricultural sector. The findings from this research are outlined in paragraphs 23 to 32. As noted in paragraphs 37 to 39 of the paper, we conclude that it is possible for an entity to rebut the presumption that fair value can be reliably measured. However, we also note that we would expect the circumstances in which this is possible to be rare. This is supported by our outreach and a review of the publicly available financial statements. In paragraph 45, we note that in our review of publicly available financial statements, most entities were able to determine fair value for their palm oil agricultural produce, although we note that there is some diversity in the assumptions that entities make in determining this. We think that it is not the committee's role to provide answers to very specific application questions for very specific industries, and for this reason we think it's difficult for the committee to definitively answer this question. And we also note that the board is exploring whether educative material on, on measuring biological assets is required as part of PIR and IFRS 13. We therefore recommend publishing a tentative agenda decision. The proposed wording for this agenda decision is outlined in Appendix A. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation not to add this issue to your agenda, and if so, do you have any comments on the tentative agenda decision?
Okay. Martin.
I have a probably general concern with IS 41. I guess one has to consider whether we are talking about short-term or long-term value creation, so to say. So I guess IS 41 should measure and reflect the biological transformation over time. And this is of utmost importance specifically for, say, wood industry or other industries where you have quite long-lasting cycles, where you really want to measure the growing of something over plenty periods. If you are in an industry where growing is short term, so to say, so over a period of 3 months or 4 months, then the question is whether we have, say, a kind of artificial measurement or artificial quantification of value creation. And whether this is really information useful. I'm not sure how long it lasts to grow this things on the palm trees. I guess it is 1 year. I'm not sure. Might be that's longer. But I guess with regard to that, it is the question is what is the additional benefit overall. But that's a general topic of IRS 41. The other one is there a kind of market for the product? And I've no idea on that, whether they are quoted market prices and so on. But probably one last thought, and this is also related to IRS 41 and the application of IRS 41, is the question, what is the value driver beyond? Is it really the biological transformation, so the growing, or it is something different, for example, inherent IP. For example, consider seed industry. I have severe doubt that IRS 41 is applicable in the seed industry due to the fact that the value creation is not because of the biological transformation, because it's like with a CD-ROM. You account for a CD-ROM not based on IRS 16, but based on IRS 38. And therefore, the application of IRIS 41, specifically on things which are short-term and growing, in a way, is challenging. And therefore, I mean, some general comments on that, but I guess one really has to consider that as a committee, how and why it might be sometimes challenging to apply IRIS 41.
Okay. So you're raising some more sort of philosophical questions about whether what we've got is a good idea or not. And I think in the first instance we want to focus on where we landed, particularly post the amendments to 41, which was to make this cut between the bearer plant itself and the sort of produce thereon. Yeah? So, Bruce, I think you were next.
Thanks, sir. I support the staff recommendation on this. I can't ask myself if we were going to do anything. I don't really see what standard setting we're doing. The comment I had is I think that where we've got challenges like this on the application, I think that there could be scope for education guidance on it that may be required. I guess I haven't got enough experience in this to determine whether or not this is just a question of we don't like the answer or if they're just genuinely having some fair value issues. But as far as what the question was posed to us, I don't think it's within the realms of the committee. There's no amendment to the standard or interpretation of the standard I would see as being required.
Andrew.
I think the starting position that we need to work with is the standard says to measure produce growing in biological assets at fair value. And the palm oil industry in these particular locations does have some interesting challenges around it. It's not seasonal, so the produce grows all the year round. There's no problem in valuing, it's a question of how much happens to be in the trees at any particular time. That's really the principal issue that we come across. And it is true that you can get a reasonably wide range of potential values, but I don't personally think that means it's impossible to get a value. It's just that you need to determine the fair value as your best pitch of where you are in the range. So with that as the backdrop, I would agree with the staff recommendation that we shouldn't add, because I don't think there is anything really to add. I think that, consistent with some of my comments before lunch, what we've got is a fairly high level of estimation uncertainty. And so I think it would be quite helpful in the tentative agenda decision to refer directly to the disclosure requirements for that estimation uncertainty in IAS 1, so that there's perhaps just a little bit more of where companies have ended up and how they've ended up with their value.
Okay, thank you.
I think the agenda paper is bringing up two root issues. The first issue is, where is that line between reliable and unreliable? And I'm not sure this group is ever going to be able to provide or has a desire to provide detailed guidance on where to draw that line. I think that also trying to draw that line has potential ramifications elsewhere. I'm not sure that's where we want to go. Not sure we can deal with that issue do anything but an agenda decision, which kind of says exactly what it says, that it's a pretty high threshold. The second issue that I think the agenda paper brings up is the unit of account issue. And that is, when and how do you break up the bearer plant and the produce? Because we've got a mixed measurement model, and so it puts a lot of pressure on when you identify the produce and how do you value, not how you value because it's fair value, but what costs get allocated to the bearer plant and the produce. And unfortunately, I'm not sure I'm going to be helpful here. I'm not sure if the group can be helpful here. I mean, I think that's... it's going to be based on particular industry, on particular plants, and I'm not sure we can address all of them in a consistent way. So I wish we could do more, but I'm in agreement with the staff and on the agenda decision.
So even on the unit of account issue, so for example, if I was to look at the recognition criteria, the
paragraph 10.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, you have to look to paragraph 10, but I think what they're looking for is more detail within paragraph 10.
When do I have that separate thing?
Yeah, because it's B and C.
Yeah.
And C we're all kind of addressing with the reliable, but B is,
yeah,
you know, they're asking for more guidance on that.
John?
Yeah, I agree with the staff recommendation. I mean, I think these are questions that sort of can't be answered. They're application questions that can't be answered by the committee in relation to the specific sort of specific fact pattern. I do think, though, that there are paragraph 38 of the paper and in paragraph 45, there is sort of, I think, some helpful commentary that could be built into the agenda decision about sort of the meaning of paragraph 30, what clearly unreliable is, and also about significant practical difficulties and the relationship between significant practical difficulties and clearly unreliable. Because it seems to me that at the moment it doesn't really say anything other than just repeat what's in the standard, which isn't very helpful. But I do think the paper brings out, and I would agree with what is in the staff paper, you know, in paragraph 38, it says the reference to clearly unreliable in paragraph 30 indicates that an entity needs to demonstrate that any fair value measurement is unreliable. You know, to state that, and also to state that significant just because an entity encounters significant practical difficulties doesn't mean it's clearly unreliable. In other words, there isn't a one-to-one connection between significant practical difficulties and unreliability. I also think in paragraph 45, there's also helpful commentary in the paper where it sort of talks about, you know, the sentence which says the concern is more that possible differences in what might all be considered to be supportable assumptions could result in materially different valuations. In our view, this does not constitute significant practical difficulties. So we are giving some guidance as to what is meant by those terms, which I think is actually helpful. I think the other thing that would be helpful is, I think, I mean, if reliability is going to be put in as a sort of threshold for measuring things at fair value or for recognition, I think it would be very useful in the IFRS 13 PIR to sort of maybe see if something can be done to address this issue. I mean, what are the, and it's always going to be depend upon individual situations, but there might be some framework for entities to be able to make a decision about what is unreliable. You know, what's the spectrum of variation that's just so unacceptable that you shouldn't be using that measure? I think, I mean, I know that's probably asking for the world, but it would be helpful if the PIR could at least give some people some indicators of the types of things that ought to help the decision-making process rather than just leaving it completely open.
I don't want to distract if people are still have thoughts about the decision to be taken specifically here. My comment is more about the crossover to the PIR of IFRS 13. So the comment I was going to make is one of the things I think where we are looking at exploring in the PIR, which I think we hope to publish in the next quarter. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Soon.
it's whether or not additional education material should be developed specifically for application to biological assets. And I think reading, and that's something that the PIR is going to ask about rather than, it's not a proposal, it's say, would this be a good or a bad thing to do? And I think the submission that's attached as an appendix here doesn't ask directly for that, but in terms of raising some of the issues that are encountered, to me, suggests that something like that would be helpful. For example, you know, is in the specific context of IAS 41, is the objective to measure on a present value basis the oil that you expect to develop over the life cycle in, you know, in these fruits? And I think the answer in 41 would be no. It's to reflect what has developed at the date you're doing the measurement. And so a number of the issues that are raised as some of the problems that people encounter, I think, could be usefully addressed in education material about if the objective is fair value measurement and you're dealing with biological assets and you are using, let's say, a discounted cash flow methodology, what is it that you are trying to estimate? Is it, and how do you take into consideration the risk that the stage you're at now might not proceed given storms or other things that could interrupt to maturity, and how do you pull all those factors together in evaluation? But I think that's, I think I want to call on Reinhardt, who had the best pronunciation so far of educative. and I think it's outside an agenda decision instance, because I think it's more developed workings. But to me, this, you know, advertising for the forthcoming PIR and the specific issue about whether or not we should develop education materials about the application and rather than arguing for a different decision from the staff recommendation or the comments to date.
As we're ahead of time, I wonder if we should set aside half an hour to selecting a word other than educative. But perhaps more seriously, I'm in much the same place as those people that have spoken previously on this specific paper. I think it is beyond the ability and the remit of this committee to determine whether something is clearly unreliable in a given set of circumstances, or to determine specifically what the unit of account is in a specific industry. So I agree with the staff's reason for not taking it onto the agenda, and I concur with that. I probably echo some of the things that John said. I thought there were a couple of helpful pieces in the staff paper that might help give folks a signpost. So, for example, the fact that there is a wide range of possible assumptions and therefore possible fair values doesn't automatically mean something is clearly unreliable. So I wonder if there's maybe a couple of sentences that we could bring forward from the paper and include them in the agenda decision. I also think it would be helpful just to refer to the requirements just around disclosing the significant assumptions and judgments that have been made. And I guess last comment, I just wondered about the second sentence in the third paragraph of the agenda, the fourth paragraph of the agenda decision. Assessing the reliability, considering relevance, faithful representation. I wasn't quite sure what that was saying.
Just to let, I mean, we come back, maybe we'll park that until we come back and talk about the exact wording, but we've had another comment on that, which I agree with.
John?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of comment on what Mary said. I mean, I think that would be, in the PIR, that would be really helpful to ask those comments, because I do think some, you know, there are major practical difficulties, and in most of these cases with biological assets, people are using DCF to try and value produce with you know, quite varying biological life cycles, time, etc. So I think working on teasing out some of those issues would be helpful, and seeing whether that could actually be converted into some form of guidance. The other thing I would draw attention to as well is that IAS 39, paragraph 46C, also has an out for unreliable fair value measurement, which is for investments in quoted equity instruments, unquoted equity instruments, which can be carried at cost. And it's far more widely used as to carry investments at cost than I've seen in biological assets meeting the test. So it would be useful to contrast practice between the use of paragraph 46C, and I know it's gone in IFRS 9, thankfully.
You knew while I was smiling.
but it is much more widely used to carry investments in unquoted equities at cost than IAS 41 is clearly unreliable. Criteria has been used.
Similar comments to those that have already spoken. I think the one that stuck out to me, given that I really have no background or experience in this particular industry, is just the requirements on disclosure, the significant assumptions. So I echo what some of the other committee members have said.
So I think based on, sorry, Tom.
Yes, I would like to echo what was said by John, the reference to the unquoted equity instruments. When you look to IS 8, in fact, you should first go to comparable two issues treated in other standards before you go to the conceptual framework. And what now has happened in this paper is that it immediately goes to the conceptual framework, especially QC 6 to 8 is referenced. So I would prefer.
John, do you have your card off again, or is that
no, that's
a hangover? So I think based on everybody who's spoken, we can conclude that the committee agrees not to add it to its standard setting agenda. Yes. And so now we can move on, as Katrina suggested, to the actual wording in the proposed agenda decision.
Should I go through some things I've heard already? One thing that didn't specifically come across, but I'm thinking, Bob, in particular about your comments, is that at the minute what the agenda decision does is obviously reference some particular paragraphs in IS 41. One at the minute that we haven't referenced is paragraph 10 of IS 41 that at least lists the recognition criteria that Bob referred to, which obviously just says you recognise an asset when you control it, when you think the economic, you know, it's probable you'll get economic benefits. And when the measurement is reliable, do you think it would be helpful to just add a reference to paragraph 10 as well? The other suggestion we've had is to mention disclosure. I think specifically a number of people talked about the ICE 1 estimation uncertainty. I think we could also potentially maybe just see whether there's any of the disclosure requirements in IFRS 13. That might be worth referencing, so we can have a look at that as well if the committee agree that we'll add a reference to disclosure. The other suggestion I heard that was mainly John suggested in some grade was there's potentially three different pieces sitting in paragraph 38 and paragraph 4 to test whether committee members want to add that. So first of all, if you look at paragraph 38 in the paper, the first piece, I think, John, that you highlighted was, would we want the agenda decision to add that line that says that an entity needs to demonstrate that any fair value measurement is unreliable in terms of what paragraph 30 of IS 41 says? No. Committee members happy to add that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that paragraph 30 sort of talks about demonstrating is clearly unreliable, but I think it's useful to me it was useful to draw out that the reference is actually at to clearly unreliable does indicate that an entity has to demonstrate that.
So we'll build that into the agenda decision. The second piece, I think, in that same paragraph 38 that John mentioned we could build into the agenda decision was what we note in the last sentence of paragraph 38, that significant practical difficulties doesn't necessarily mean directly that it's clearly unreliable. That's reflection based, so we'll add that in as well. And then the third place, if you turn to paragraph 45 in the paper, the third piece that John suggested was that we build in some of what's in 45 to say that just because there's possibly quite a wide range of valuations, that does not necessarily mean it's clearly unreliable. I think that third piece is
one thing that also struck me when
sorry. Could there be added what is in IS 39 that, especially when you can assess the probability of the different outcomes?
I'm not sure that we can quote directly from another standard.
Yeah, I don't know what committee members think. I would be slightly.
Because, Tom, I'd have to go back and look at it, but remember that IFRS 13 took most of the guidance on how to do fair value out of 41, and, you know, so that everything is pointing to a single standard for how to do fair value measurement. I think the paragraph you're referring to may be less about how, but if it's about making other judgments unless the words are exactly aligned. It may be that there was not necessarily an intention to get to exactly the same threshold.
But in, especially in paragraph AG 81 of I 39, it is said that that paragraph indicated the fair value of an equity instrument could not be measured reliably if the range of reasonable fair value estimates is significant. That's where we're talking about, and the probabilities of the various estimates cannot be reasonably assessed. So that combination makes that you can make a reliable estimate. And now the tentative agenda decision only reflects that the first part, that if there is a great range of possible outcomes, that does not say that you cannot measure reliably the fair value. But that raises the question for issuers, okay? But when can I then? And there is literature, so why not making a reference to that literature?
One of my hesitations is that when we were discussing IFRS 9, and none of this is directly on point, but one of the reasons why we took away this exception in 39 was because this thinking has sort of evolved, I think, in terms of where the board is. So I'm a bit worried about sort of refreshing something that I think the board, because I think, just reading this really quickly and without my glasses on, this sort of suggestion that if the range is significant and the probabilities cannot be reasonably assessed, which is included in measuring the instrument at fair value, sort of is counter to what we've just been discussing in terms of just because there's a wide range, it doesn't necessarily mean you would conclude that it can't be reliably measured. So I'm a bit cautious about elevating that in this context, given that we're sort of moving away from that in at least financial instrument literature.
And I suppose as well, my slight nervousness without knowing the details, just thinking about sometimes words that are written in the context of a particular standard, maybe with, you know, in this case, particular instruments in mind, that if the words are then different in a different standard, maybe it doesn't.
But the problem is, in IF 41, we do not, the ISB does not explain when you can measure reliably. It's only said when you cannot measure reliably, then you can do it at cost, but there is hardly any guidance to assess whether you can measure reliably or not. And that is the reason that I was looking for some guidance, and I found.
Andrew.
I appreciate the point that's being made. I think that if I look at the hierarchy and the way that it operates, I might find it difficult to get part of IS 39 into IS 41, because IS 41 is the applicable standard for agriculture. And I would need to check precise wording, but I get into the hierarchy if something isn't covered by a particular standard. It's probably necessary. Probably need to have a look at the detail, but I think there may be something in IFRS 13 that would help, because that's the standard that governs how you measure fair value and where a lot of the guidance is now gone. So I would be nervous of referring into IS 39. I would rather look towards IFRS 13. To the point on the wide range of measurements, I think we may be looking at things slightly differently, because my reading of IS 39 is I might have a range of, let's say, somewhere between 2 and 50, and I have absolutely no idea where in that range I could possibly be. Whereas when I look at the agriculture space, it is true that when I come to this kind of produce, I can have quite a wide range, but I can also build myself an expectation of round about where in that range I am, with a bit of a confidence interval on it, but I can get myself into a place where I've still got variation, but it's not that wide, it's a bit more like that wide. And that to me is a bit of a difference.
And that
many palm oil plantation owners that would agree with you.
I know.
The one thing that struck me made me go back and look at the standard when I read the draft agenda decision was the reference to on initial recognition, rebutting only on initial recognition, which is what the standard says, but it then does go on to say that if it becomes reliably measurable, then you're in again. I think it might be worth making that point as well so people don't think it's just a one-off thing and then... Yes.
And maybe the final thing that I also heard as well about the agenda decision is just in the last, I'm looking at the agenda decision, the last paragraph, the second sentence that's beginning assessing the reliability. I know, Tony, you mentioned it, and I know we did have a concern that maybe including that sentence could possibly be read in the wrong way, in a sense, in the agenda decision, possibly appearing to allow more flexibility in the requirements than we might wish. So I don't know whether the suggestion might be then that we delete that sentence,
particularly given the framework that we're about to
okay.
Yeah.